The sun is out and our blockade is legal.
There's the blockade.
Join Robin, Sean, Andrew, Jalen right now.
This is Admiral Raddus of the Rebel Alliance. Call up the Frick City Blockade. AP5 has an idea.
Hey, good evening, everybody. We're back, second night in a row here.
Two episodes in a week?
What is going on here? Andrew's still vibing to the theme over there.
I am.
It's
a great theme.
You know what? And that that theme has really become a very popular thing. I've had multiple people reach out and be like, that's such a unique theme and everything. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, that's what we do over here. You know, we do, we're like you said, Andrew, when we started doing the intro and everything, we're upgrading. We're going up. We're moving up the chain here.
That's not downgrading.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of, unfortunately, not moving up the chain, but concluding, we're here to talk about, of course, the Bad Batch Season 3 finale, which we teased last night. Bittersweet times for us right now, looking back at Season 3 and the entire series as a whole. Let's get right into it, guys, because everything we said that we thought was going to happen
didn't happen
at all, and I couldn't be happier about it personally.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, Disney's terrible.
Oh, kill everyone.
The outcome was good.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that. You guys are just coming fresh.
My theories didn't come true. I hate Disney. I'm not gonna watch Star Wars anymore. Until the fourth.
The snack bar. That's exactly people's attitude right now.
Yeah.
You guys are just coming off seeing it fresh, literally less than an hour ago.
Like 40 minutes ago.
40 minutes
about,
ago.
About. So
I want to get y'all perspective, you know, right away here, starting with you, Andrew, your take on this final episode. Yeah, you know what? We got to see some action happening over there on Tantus. Very satisfying deaths, to be honest with you, in terms of characters on one particular side of the conflict. But what are your takes from this? Because I think it's leaving a lot of fans very satisfied.
I enjoyed it. I do feel like there could have been a little bit more. This is just me being a little greedy.
Sure. Yeah.
There could have been a little bit more. It did, towards the end, it did feel a little rushed wrapping it up, especially with the time jump. Because I'm like, wait, Ventress is there. I'm like, oh, wait, no, she's old now. This is the rebellion.
Yeah.
Her hair just grew longer. Then I said, oh, that's her.
But it's also she didn't exactly change her voice when she became an adult. So that is also kind of what threw me off, almost like Freddie Prinze Jr. with him voicing 13-year-old Kanan Jarrus, whose balls like dropped to his feet. but overall, despite my thoughts of it being a little rushed with wrapping it up towards the end, I really enjoyed the episode. Was I wrong that they didn't all die? Yes. But payoff
you're right,
John. Worked out. And honestly, this is probably one of Kevin Kiner's best scores for any of the animated stuff, besides maybe Twilight of the Apprentice. There's just something about that episode, those two episodes, that just hit different.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the animated stuff with Star Wars. There's something coming soon.
I think Omega's coming back.
Yeah, whether it's going to be animated or even live action, because she's joining the Rebellion.
Correct.
Is this right at the start of the Rebellion, or is it in the same timeline as Rebels?
Right.
Also, Hunter did have a pretty sweet beard when he got old. So
great beard. Fantastic.
Is it like a 15-year gap, do you think? 20-year? Well,
was Omega...
Omega's like, was what, 13, 14?
I think...
Maybe like 7 years. Maybe she's like young 20.
Yeah, I'd say early 20s. Maybe around Luke Leia's age.
See ya.
Because Luke and Leia were both 19 once A New Hope happens. So,
yeah, 15.
Okay. No, thank you.
Yep. It's, yeah, I can understand where you're coming from, Andrew. I mean, to be honest here, I was looking through Star Wars News Net and some of their, you know, some of their reactions, and from our good friends over at Star Wars Explained, which, by the way, happy birthday, Molly Damon, as well. Big happy birthday from the Brick City Blockade.
Happy birthday
to you. The Star Wars Newsnet crew actually specifically said in their review of the episode, which kind of falls along your lines, Andrew, that it didn't take risks, mm-hmm. right? It could have taken more narrative risks in terms of the story, and it played it safe with the finale because they know that they've now got Omega, which Dave and Jennifer and the entire team are now going to say, let's put Omega up on the shelf and then pull her back into the story. Sean, were you able to kind of pick up on that? What is your overall take on this finale?
I kind of agree with Andrew because it was kind of rushed. It was kind of rushed the past few episodes, I think, because they were just working with so little time and not enough episodes. Maybe the episodes were like longer, like before, it would help kind of clean up. But other than that, I really enjoyed it. It was a bittersweet ending. Couldn't ask for more. Just love the time jump. I personally love the time jump. I love when they do.
It was a very good time jump. It just kind of threw me off a little bit because with her voice, that was about it.
Sure.
Like I said, it was the same thing with Caleb Doom and Freddie Prinze Jr. being like, I'm Kanan. I'm 13.
Yeah.
I did cry though. I did cry at the bridge scene, so that's the only time I cried.
I didn't. Maybe I'm just heartless. I don't know.
No, that's not true. Don't be saying.
I'll cry when I see Grievous in Tales of the Empire.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I'm gonna double cry.
He's gonna double cry.
So you'll cry and then you'll cry again.
No, I'll have more tears than you. Okay. Twice as more than you.
Oh, okay.
Double the cry.
I was about to say twice the pride, double the cry.
Sure.
Cry, yeah, exactly.
We'll put that on a t-shirt.
Listen to the Brick City Blockade. You'll double cry.
You'll double cry every time. Yeah. Interesting. No, I mean, listen, this finale did everything that I was hoping it was going to do. It gave us a nice wrap up to the story. So let me just say this. Kevin Kiner, you son of a bitch, okay? You tease all this death and everything.
Hey, no one died.
Let me tell you.
Plus the first movie, spoiler.
Just getting the head chopped off and that connecting to Crosshair, getting his hand cut off. Bravo. Bravo, Kevin. You really did a great job with
now,
that.
Now he just has a nub.
Oh, also, Rule said, Sean, photos or it didn't happen, Sean. So, yep.
Then we go get the onions.
No, nobody's saying the onions are necessary right now. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. It'll be like SpongeBob where he puts them out. What are these doing here? What are you doing?
Hey, who put these here?
Jennifer, Corbett, and the entire team behind the Bad Batch wrapped up this series in a way that was satisfying to Bad Batch fans, satisfying to Star Wars fans. I mean, we wanted to see Hemlock gone. The way that Hemlock was taken
wanted him to live.
By Crosshair. Andrew, you son of... No. So, the way that he was taken out by Crosshair...
I'm glad Tarka didn't see him.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of wanted to see him.
If Tarka saw him, he would have killed him. What's her phrase just sped up the process.
Yes. So, this is the whole thing. Is like this answers a big portion to funding that we see happen in Rogue One, which is Galen Erso joining as an Imperial scientist on Project Stardust, on the Empire's plans to build the Death Star. So in all honesty, I think one of the most important lines throughout the entire finale was when Governor Tarkin is standing there and says we're moving funding to Project Stardust. That connects itself to the Rogue One novelization and to Rogue One directly when we learn more about Galen Erso and the project as a whole. So in all honesty, I think everybody is saying stuff about, you know, Omega and how they're going to use Omega in the future, where we're going to see her play out. I'm going to be honest with you. The most important place for Omega to show up at any point in time is with Hera because of season two of Bad Batch when they meet up with each other.
Yeah.
Omega and Ahsoka series.
So this is what I'm talking about. Yes, she survives the Galactic Civil War, but she also gets involved with the New Republic in some way, shape, or form. So everybody's like, oh, here comes the talk of recasting live-action Omega. It, to be honest with you, it's not even a joke, right? We've seen this play out with Ahsoka with animated characters. We've seen this play out with Hera. We've seen this play out with the entire Rebels crew. Grand Admiral Thrawn, for God's sakes, right? So, yes, cue up the conversation because there is a track record with Lucasfilm here of doing it and doing it successfully.
Yeah. I mean, look at Katie Sackhoff. She was Bo-Katan in Clone Wars, and she's Bo-Katan in live action now. And because Dave Filoni knew at some point he will bring her into live action. That's why she cast her as Bo-Katan.
That's right.
I mean, I was going to say, depending on her age, I mean, voice actress of Omega, she's 40.
Right.
I mean, if we want to recast her.
I mean, I'm fine. Like, Rosario Dawson is not Ashley Eckstein, but she is the live action version of Ahsoka. Yeah. I can differentiate the two, but they are the same character. She's just, oh, she's stoic. She's not as happy go lucky as she was in the Clone Wars.
So this is where I'm coming from on this specifically, is that if anything comes out of this finale and this final season of The Bad Batch, it's not only wrapping up the story of Hunter and Crosshair and Wrecker and everybody else who has made this series possible character-wise and have watched them grow and develop as characters and in their support of Omega and her journey as well, right? Uh-huh. It's done a wonderful job of that. But the ultimate goal at the end of the day, this is just pure speculation. I have no insight on this whatsoever. But the goal at the end of the day is to build out the story so that it can continue on in some way, shape, or form, and characters can be reused and their stories can continue on. I don't think it's the last for Hunter either. He says to Omega specifically at the very end, call on us if you need us. So seeing them at some point, wherever it takes place in terms of Omega's ability to, you know, join the rebellion and become a pilot or whatever role she ends up taking within the rebellion, the Bad Batch is not out of this just yet. And we explored that with Rex. We explored that with the remaining clones already. You know, I mean, the fact that Rex is there in Return of the Jedi alone, and now that is just well known that that character is Rex, right? So there is this history within Lucasfilm, within the projects, within our fandom alone that, yeah, we're going to build off of this and we're going to have something, you know, it's going to build into something more. So if people are, you know, finding little things about the finale, absolutely, because they're playing it safe for a reason at the end of the day. And later on down the road, we're going to watch Omega show up in live action or in another animated series as a part of the rebellion and be like, holy shit. Wow. You know what, Dave? Yeah. You know what, Jennifer? Yep. You did it. You did it once again.
I also love the show with Tech's classes again, seeing again.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was great. That was absolutely great. Yeah. And the smaller version. You notice the ship that she's flying is a smaller version of it's just there's just so many different aspects like to this finale that we could go back and, you know, roll it ain't Rex on. I like to think it is. I'm confirming in my head canon here. rule that
I thought it was. They basically said Rex did fight at the Battle of Endor.
I was saying maybe not, but
it's Rex. He has the same beard.
It's Rex. it's Santa Claus. Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, Santa Claus can find his way to Endor, but
sure. You know.
I mean, what do you guys think in terms of coming off of Clone Force 99 here, moving forward with the Bad Batch? I mean, I'm definitely going to go back and do a rewatch of this.
Yeah, I'm going to rewatch the full series now that it's done, and I can look at it in a different light. And then what I'll probably do is I'll do a ranking of like where it sits in terms of the animated stuff.
Yeah, right.
So far, I haven't watched Resistance. I don't plan on watching it. So that's going to be the very bottom of the barrel. It says a lot when Young Jedi Adventures is above.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's very true. I agree. I think going back, kind of rating it, seeing where it plays into the storyline. And it's interesting. I had somebody ask me today, if I was to rewatch Bad Batch all the way through, what am I watching directly after? What show am I watching? I would personally say Andor.
Yeah.
Would be your next series to watch after.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's a toss up between that and Kenobi.
I just finished my rewatch of Kenobi today. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all of this content is evergreen. I'm not sure that people, I mean, I think that we'll all understand it now, you know, 2 to 3 days from now after we've come down from the tears and the use of tissues for this.
Have a feeling they have an announcement for May 4th for something that's coming up.
Something animated?
I think so. It's not just Tales of the Empire. There's something else coming. They wouldn't make a new Darth Vader animated model for just Tales of the Empire. He's got to be used somewhere. And whether it's the Clone Rebellion or just something else, and Vader shows up.
I mean, could they do Tales of the Jedi, which I have to go back and rewatch at some point this week before we get into Tales of the Empire on May the 4th. Then they do Tales of the Empire, and maybe the next one is Tales of the Rebellion. And Omega show up. Hey, you know, you loved Omega.
Because we haven't really seen anything where the Rebellion forms. Except for like deleted scenes with Revenge of the Sith, which isn't canon.
But imagine making those canon through animated.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see that Padme was the one to consider starting the Rebellion.
Yeah.
That's the thing I find really cool. And I do wish that, obviously, it was already set that Padme was going to die, but I do wish it was Padme against Vader.
Yeah, right.
The start of the Rebellion, and she's the first one to go head-to-head with Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with her being pregnant, it kind of didn't work out too well. But I do wish how they did her going to Mustafar was like the novel version, because she tried to stab Anakin. She didn't just die from a broken heart, or she's like, I can't believe you did that. It's like, no, she tried to kill him because she's like, all right, you're too far gone.
Yeah.
Stab.
Tell your idea.
Imagine if she did it, though.
I mean, the galaxy would be a lot. Actually, no, because they would still have Palpatine roaming around. I mean,
the whole thing wouldn't exist from the beginning.
True. But we would still have Palpatine roaming around.
True.
He would have just found another apprentice.
Somehow Palpatine would still have returned in some way, shape, or form.
Well, Project Necromancer is gone now.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
I mean, so here's the other thing, too. Now looking back at Project Necromancer and the way that it was utilized throughout the Bad Batch, the project as a whole, like, was Project Necromancer therefore a cover-up for the larger project, right?
I didn't
foresee that Tantus was going to go bye-bye and was like, I got my operations elsewhere.
I think he sent Tarkin there to basically confirm that it's gone to shit.
Yeah, right.
And then it's like, all right, Death Star.
Yeah. Enough money over here. Yep.
Yeah. I really like that. I am disappointed that that teaser was a fake with Vader looking at that tree? Yes. But I'm also kind of glad that they didn't have Vader show up, because you knew. Yeah. Well, even then, like, if they. That's the thing. If Palpatine's doing Project Necromancer, you probably wouldn't want Vader to know about that.
Correct.
Correct. So.
And it seems like with the finale too here, just in reports that I've been reading from folks, that the finale was changed up multiple times.
Okay, so maybe Vader was considered.
So, you know, when you're working on the boards, you've got
some ending. And then they swapped to have, like, no, it's Tarkin. Also, I said it during my watch of it. I'm like, fuck, talk about timing.
Yeah, right.
Like, they left, and then fucking Tarkin shows up. It's like,
I'd rather have Tarkin than Vader show up. I mean,
Tarkin's more important in terms. I mean, we're getting Tales of the Empire anyway, so I wouldn't be surprised if that came up in conversation too. It's like, this finale is going to run right up to Tales of the Empire. If we double up on Vader here, yeah. I mean, it seems like.
But I do got to say, I don't know if you guys saw the new teaser for Tales of the Empire. The new animation they have for Vader is a lot, is so much. Like, don't get wrong, I like seeing him in Clone Wars, but they definitely touched up on the animation for Vader in there. I mean, look at Grievous.
Even the second half of Bad Batch, the lighting, the animation style, everything.
These last few episodes were like, especially like the rain and like.
Yeah, that's madness. That's why I am.
It just reminded me of Rogue One.
Right.
Also, the Zillow Beast didn't do as much as I thought it was going to do.
Oh, they teased that. They made you think the Zillow Beast was going to be a major piece. But there was a little Godzilla Kong thing happening in the background.
It was.
That would have been cool. Maybe they had a cut scene. Maybe there was something else where they were going
to show. They definitely threw something in there for Filoni, because he's a huge Godzilla and King Kong fan. So
yeah. So there may have been something at some point, but I mean, you're right, Sean, like just some, like that scene in the rain at the very edge of Tantus there, the scene on the bridge is just so Rogue One, and it tells you what time period we're playing in specifically. Like, Andor did that perfectly too. It found that nitty gritty style of Rogue One. And brought that forth throughout the series. Actually went even, I would say, even grittier than Rogue One. And I feel like the end of the second half of the third season of The Bad Batch, I'm going to say, is some of the best animation form.
Absolutely.
That we've seen come out of
Lucas. And it's just like the Clone Wars. I'm kind of doing a rewatch of it, and I'm like, oof, early Clone Wars is rough. And then as it gets to season three, I'm like, all right, the animation is picking up. Obviously, by the time we get to the final season, it's like, shit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, this last season.
But I'm also greedy because I still want more Clone Wars, because even though we got the final episodes, it still feels like there's more for Clone Wars. Obviously, it's not going to happen. Yeah. But they had episodes like that were going to deal with like the Death Star and everything like that. So it's like, I still kind of want those episodes.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe we'll get a teaser for maybe we'll do another season of Tale of the Jedi.
Or Tales of the Clones. I don't know. I don't think
there's a
series specific.
I think with how the animation is now, this was a tease to a new full animated series. Because it's so advanced now with its animation style that they definitely want to show off what they can do with them finishing Bad Batch. Now they can focus on something new.
I mean, I could definitely see like an Old Republic style of animation.
Don't even get me started on Old Republic. If they do something Old Republic and it's that animation style, I will need a change of pants every week for the new episode.
Good catch also by Rural Farm Boy. Thanks for finding that. Yeah, I was Governor Tarkin, Grand Moff Tarkin. You're right. The plaque was Grand Moff. Yeah, that was one of those details that I didn't catch up on. So that's, hey, there's Hyperspace Heroes podcast here. Marking the whole season with respect to Rogue One style ending. Warned us that it wouldn't be what we were expecting it to be. She did.
Yeah.
Jennifer came right out and said that. Mm-hmm. As we know, Star Wars fans like to say, oh, we'd love to see this. We'd love to see this. But Jennifer did it the right way. She was straight off just saying, hey, it's going to end the way it's going to end. You're going to be so satisfied with it and you're going to enjoy it. And, you know, that warning that she put out. Yeah. Hyperspace Heroes. Absolutely. It was, she kind of let us know that, hey, you know, if you have expectations about how this finale is going to go, cut them immediately. Mm-hmm. At the end of the time. Spot. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Last Jedi. It's essentially like how Luke said, it's not going to go the way you think.
The way you think. Yeah, that's absolutely mm-hmm. right. So what are you guys' final takes on the Bad Batch finale here? What are you looking most forward to in your rewatch of it or whatever else?
I'm excited to see, like, if I notice anything with Crosshair, like his hand, like,
right,
that's a new thing that it's like, all right, was it always like that, or is that something that I just didn't notice develop over time?
Right.
And just seeing the progression of all the characters and everything. But the other thing I'm glad about is Dave Filoni got to finish another one of his series.
Yes.
I feel like Dave is playing it safe with not having too many seasons because he doesn't want it to get canceled like Clone Wars did.
Interesting perspective on that. Sean, what are your thoughts?
I don't know if I'll rewatch the whole series again, but I might catch a few episodes here and there. Just I'll probably have to pick and choose some if I want to actually look what I want to see again, mm-hmm. and like make my
yeah. Good point by Brown Leader here. As we as fans are always telling the stories 5 steps ahead, but the storytellers only take 2 steps. We set ourselves up to letdowns every time. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Rural Farm Boy said it as well. We do that every single time. And this is why people like Jennifer Corbett and Dave Filoni and Doug Chang and all these folks, Jon Favreau, are the ones behind the scenes and not us. Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones who know how to play out these stories. They are the ultimate story.
It's because they know there's the grifters like Star Wars Theory, the Phantom Menace, that they're going to harp on all the bullshit that didn't come true in their theories. And it's like, you can have all the theories you want, but don't get mad when they don't all happen.
Exactly. There's critical thinking, and then there is, why the hell didn't you do what I wanted you to do, mm-hmm. right? And we do see that. And that's not the point of it.
It's like, not to deviate from Bad Batch, but it's like, Star Wars series was doing a watch long series of Ahsoka. And when, towards the end, when they're attacking where Thrawn is, and he's like, oh, they're going to bring back Maul or something. I'm like, Why would they bring back Maul? Why would they ruin that ending that they had for Maul? Three, why would Maul even work for the reformed Empire who fucked up his life beforehand?
Right.
He didn't get enough shit as he went through, so.
No. He was all like, oh, it's just zombie stormtroopers. It's like, what do you mean? Oh, it's just zombie stormtroopers. That's one of the best Star Wars books is the original Death Troopers.
Yeah, it's great, great novel. Yeah. It's such good stuff. Yeah, I think the Bad Batch finale here, I mean, Jennifer coming out and saying that, and of course, Dave Filoni elevating that, of course, throughout everything that he's done as well. You know, I think that those expectations we've learned here at the podcast too, is like, we can hypothesize, we can build off, we can have fun with it, right? But at the end of the day, what they do and what they say and what they give us on the screen, we're always going to be happy because it's Star Wars. It's conversations. It's stuff that's expanding the universe, right?
I mean, Rule, if you want to share your opinions, you're more than welcome to. I've called that motherfucker out plenty of times.
Andrew's very vocal about it, and you know what?
He's bald. He has a vagina chin.
Best part of the season was Corbin Dunn reading us the season. Yes.
Yeah.
That is true. The creators and their fans across social media, teasing us all. Absolutely. Just kind of building off on that. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never seen fans of Star Wars hashtagging a show since Clone Wars more than the Bad Batch and sharing their perspectives and having the producers and the folks behind the scenes and Jennifer like commenting directly, Kevin Kiner, directly going in there and commenting and thanking fans and giving their perspective and teasers about what's coming. Like that's the kind of fandom we love, right? Mm-hmm. The unity is community, the stuff early on that we talked about as a podcast.
Yeah. Well,
that's where Star Wars is at its best.
It's because it's overshadowed by hate.
Because they're fans like us. Exactly, Royal Farm Boy. Exactly. At the end of the day, we're all Star Wars fans. And they want to continue to tell these stories for us to enjoy. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. And I'm going to be honest, kind of wrapping up this conversation around the season 3 finale. If anything comes out of this, it's another story. It's pushing Omega's character down the line for us to see her development within the rebellion as a character even more. And to see where Hunter and the rest of the crew play out, knowing that they are still alive. They are still available for Dave and Jennifer and the entire Lucasfilm team to pull off the shelf and to use in whatever way they see fit for us to enjoy. So what I'll say to everybody is, if it's not your Star Wars, then stop watching.
It's not my Star Wars anymore.
No, yeah, then
and just stop watching.
No. Keep watching it, even though I don't like it anymore.
It's Star Wars is meant to be community. It's meant to be part of the fandom. And there's no, I've never seen any room for, you know, you can have critical analysis and your thoughts about it. But when you're going on social media, when you're being just so blunt about how much you hate it, then don't be a part of that.
Yeah.
Remove yourself completely from it. I've seen lots of negative comments about season 3 and the finale.
No, I've already seen negative comments about Acolyte, and that hasn't even come out yet.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So, I mean, I think we're at that point too.
I mean, if Obi-Wan Kenobi is enough of an eye-opener.
Emery's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, if Obi-Wan Kenobi as a whole with how the fandom reacted to Reva.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Which, again, with my rewatch, I still don't mind Reva.
She's no.
Not a bad character.
I enjoy Reva's character completely.
I honestly want her to come back.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what they were originally going to. We need to just talk about Kenobi as a whole anyway.
We'll just do a whole rewatch and then kind of break down the entire series as a whole. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I think that.
I mean, we've got time to wait until June 4th, so.
Maybe next May 4th will be Tales of the Clones.
Tales of the Clones, Tales of Luke Skywalker, who knows?
They could go any route with
Tales that. Of Luke.
Luke.
Tales of the Beasts.
Yeah. Tales of the Beast, yeah, that's very true.
Tales of the Palpatine.
We enjoyed the season 3 finale, everybody. We hope you did as well. We'll be rewatching, of course, through the Bad Batch, some of us, and you know, more comments to come across the board as we head into May the 4th. And like you said, Andrew and Sean here, I don't think we're done with May the 4th announcements around this. I think that they're teasing.
I mean, we have a lightsaber that they're doing, legacy lightsaber, which is Darth Maul's. But the cool thing that they're doing is it's just the staff.
Yeah.
And it's already connected. You don't have to buy them separate. and it's limited to like 3,000, I think.
Yeah, right.
I'm curious on the price tag that they're going to get for that. But.
It's very, very true. Hey, great to see you, Brown Squadron. Good to see you. The Hyperspace Heroes podcast, folks. Always good. Always
hey,
good.
Hey, if you're free at some point, you're more than welcome to join us.
Jump on. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Hyperspace Blockade crossover episode.
Oh, bring Rural Farm Boy on.
Hey, I know. Bring everybody on.
And huge podcaster collab.
Yeah, absolutely. Many more to come, of course, leading after May the 4th, our review of everything, including the Phantom Menace meetup happening on Saturday. Full review will be coming after that about May the 4th festivities.
And we will do a review on the scene, the exclusive scene from Acolyte and everything like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Got a rule. Absolutely. For sure. Anyway, gentlemen, it is that time here on this Bad Batch Season 3 finale wrap-up. It's a little thing we like to call...
butt plug time. Oh,
it's not that... Yeah, I guess it is. It's plug time here.
It always is.
At the Brick City Blockade Podcast, Mr. Andrew Garish, Mr. Commander Nerd, when are we coming out? Where can the good people find you?
Well, you can find me on YouTube at Commander Nerd. I will actually have a new video coming out on May 4th. It will be a lightsaber review. You can find me on Twitter at Commander Nerd as well. Instagram, Andrew62592. And you can find me on May 4th at the Phantom Menace.
Super pumped.
And probably that. Hunting for the Funko Pops or Black Series figures. I don't know what's coming out.
We're just gonna look around.
We'll
see. Sean Misha, where can the good people find you, Uranium, across social media?
You can also see me on May the 4th with you guys. So yeah. Be fun. You guys follow me on Twitter at Sean Misha 1, Instagram at itzoneZ, and Facebook.
You guys can follow me over on Twitter at @X_RobinWVote. Also, make sure to follow me over on Instagram at @IG_RobinWVote. Most importantly, make sure you're following the Brick City Blockade Podcast at Real Fandom Talk on Twitter. At Real Fandom
Talk. I was going to say.
And make sure to subscribe here on YouTube. And make sure to subscribe over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever to your podcast feed. And we look forward to seeing you next time on the Brick City Blockade Podcast. Our season 3 finale wrapping itself up. And hey, as we always say, it's not a podcast until we say it, folks. May the force be with you.
Always.